Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I remember a time in my life, it's actually quite a while ago now, it's about 12 years ago, I was living in New Zealand and I was doing an internship at a church there. After high school, I moved back to New Zealand for a year and I was just serving for that whole year at a church. And the church I was serving at actually had New Zealand's Got Talent come and hire out their facility, which was amazing. And so I got to do all sorts of things. We had midweek events. It was literally like you worked 100 hours a week. It was amazing. And so I was doing all of that all the time. And yeah, we had New Zealand's Got Talent come through. We had guest ministers come through. We'd have prayer nights. We had a lot. And if I'm honest, that year was so good for my own faith. It was so good for my own character. There's something about serving in the house of God that builds your faith, that builds your character. Something about being in that atmosphere. And I remember I was doing actually a new Christian's course at the time. And we had a week that was coming up and they were teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they talked about how, you know, being filled with the Spirit, when you get hands laid on you, you experience His power, you get to speak in other languages. And they had a night service that weekend where they were specifically going to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they encourage you, hey, whether you pray in tongues already or not, we want to encourage you to pray this week, to fast this week, and come expectant on Sunday for God to touch your life. And so I remember that week as I was serving at the church every single day, I would be praying, I'd be seeking, I'd be asking God, God, this Sunday, would you touch me? This Sunday, would you move in my life? This Sunday, would you speak to me? I just had this ongoing prayer with God. I remember I was cleaning a storeroom and there was these, do you know those styrofoam beanbag beads? Has anyone ever, how many of you know, they're almost demonic, man. They're just like the worst things to ever be created. There's witchcraft there, you know. You find one, they multiply into 20. It's just, I don't know how they do it. And so I was cleaning up this storeroom of these beanbag beads, making a pile, and the wind would come and blow it everywhere. And honestly, I did it for the whole day. But as I was cleaning, as I was serving, I was just having a conversation with the Lord. God, I thank you for this Sunday. I pray, Father, that this Sunday, your presence would touch me. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you'd fill me with a fresh baptism. I ask that the power of God would be in the room. And honestly, for the whole day, probably for many hours that day, is praying. I fasted that week. And it came to Sunday night. And have you ever had a time in your life that you arrived at a church service? And it was like the moment you walked in, the atmosphere was different. You were singing the exact same worship song as the week before, but your heart's just connecting with every lyric. You know, the person that's sharing the offering message, it's like, oh my gosh, I wasn't going to give, but I just feel so moved to give today. Everything that, it's like the atmosphere is alive. It's electric. That was what it was like that night. I came in and I could just sense the touch of God's Spirit in the room. And I'll never forget, I came to the end of the service and they invited people to come forward for prayer. And so I came down the front, someone prayed for me, and I just felt the wind and the rush of God's Spirit rush upon me. I had a touch of God. I felt tears come out of my eyes. I felt this fresh infilling of God. I felt the glory of God come. And I remember leaving that service, and I felt the Lord taught me a very important lesson, that what He did in my life that day wasn't totally up to Him. It was actually my stewardship that week that positioned me for that moment. Because although I had an amazing service, there would have been other people in that room that day that came and left totally unchanged. The same service, the same location, the same date, the same time. They could have even been in the same spot of the auditorium, just like right here in the story. We've got the same Jesus at the same place at the same time, but a different encounter happened for different people depending on their expectation. See, your expectation is a conduit. The Lord is wanting to flow through in order to minister to you. But so many of us, we never learn to steward our expectation. And so we can point the finger at God all the while being closed off and blocked off to how He is wanting to come and speak and touch and minister to our lives. And so what is expectation? A definition of expectation, according, I believe, to the Oxford Dictionary, is a strong belief that something will happen. See, in this story, many people touched Jesus' clothes, but one woman touched His clothes with a strong belief that the moment she did, something would happen. See, I don't want to be in an atmosphere where Jesus is moving and touch a jacket when I could have encountered His presence. I want to be someone that lives my life with a perpetual strong belief that as I come to Him, something's going to happen. And so I've got three thoughts this morning. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just a couple of things that I feel the Lord's brought to my heart and my mind about how we can steward our expectation. Is this okay so far? Point number one, if you're writing notes, simply this. Expectation starts with a thought. See, the Bible says in verse number 28, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Expectation starts with thoughts that God is about to do something in your life. See, so many of us, we want to have that moment. We want to experience God. We want more of him, but we never learn to guard and steward our thoughts. And someone comes on the stage, or the worship leader gets the lyric wrong, or, you know, someone's distracting next to us. And before we know it, our thoughts are either qualifying us or disqualifying us from what God wants to do. Because all it takes is a, who does this kid think he is? Come on, I've been there too. You know, look at how they're dressed. Or, you know, let's be a little bit more realistic. It's not sometimes how people are dressed, but it's like, man, I don't agree with their theology there. I don't like that doctrine there. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have good doctrine 100%. God honors his word above his name. We need to honor the word of God. We need to pursue good doctrine. But there are going to be times and situations in your life where if you are not careful, your thoughts might lead you to offense and disqualify you from a moving of God. And I want to encourage you, this isn't just me saying this. The Bible actually speaks about this. See, there was a woman in the Bible, a Syrophoenician woman, who wasn't a Jew. That means she wasn't part of the children of God or the children of Israel at that time. And so she comes to Jesus, and she's got a daughter at home that's got a demon, and she needs that demon to get out of her daughter. How many of you have a daughter at home with it? Don't put up your hand. And so she comes to Jesus like anyone would, and the disciples tell her to go away. Like, no, don't trouble the teacher. And we can think, disciples, how rude. And so she pushes past them. She gets to Jesus, and she's like, Master, my daughter's at home, but if you can just come and lay your hand on her, she'll be made well. And Jesus has such a peculiar response. He says, it's not right to take from the children and give to the dogs. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally feel like that's easy to get offended at. Because the implication is that the children of Israel are the children of God, which they are, and that's who God's covenant was with Abraham and his descendants, the lineage of Abraham. That's why in Christ you and I are grafted into this lineage. God didn't start a new thing. He worked into the existing thing. But at this point, Jesus had not died and risen again. So what you need to understand is theologically, you and I, Gentile believers, people that are not from the lineage of Abraham, we had no right in the kingdom of God at this point in time because the blood of Jesus had not merged us into one people. Making sense so far? And so she comes to Jesus crying out. He says, no, I need to first give it to the children. It's not right to give to the children, take from them and give to the dogs. By implication, anyone that wasn't part of the children of Israel is considered a dog. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a justifiable reason to walk away that day. To say, man, don't go to that church. Don't go speak to that preacher. Not only will he spit in your eyes, but he'll call you a dog too. Could you imagine the news articles they would have made about Jesus? She had an opportunity in that moment. Do I choose to allow my thoughts to interrupt this moment and take offense? Or do I choose to respond with humility and come up underneath and remain hungry, even if it offends my mind? And I love her response. She said, Master, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. He says, woman, your faith is great. Your daughter's been healed of her disease. She's been delivered of her demon this very moment. I love her response. She said, in other words, if you are going to say that only the children get the bread, as much as that might offend me, I'm just going to come in low. I'm going to come up underneath. I'm going to posture myself in humility and in hunger. And that so moved the heart of God that her daughter got delivered that very moment. How many of you know it was always the will of Jesus to heal the daughter that day? But sometimes Jesus, catch this, Jesus will allow offense in your mind to test the humility of your heart. I want to say that again.
Jesus, in his sovereignty, will allow offense in your mind to test the humility of your heart. Because the option is then yours. Are you going to be offended and justifiably walk away? Or are you going to steward your thought life and say, no, I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to continue to seek. I'm going to continue to hunger for the Lord. Sometimes God's breakthrough for your life will come in packages you don't like. We all want to be set free in the comfort of our own home, but sometimes being set free looks like laughing on the ground, making a scene of yourself. Hello, somebody. Sometimes the touch of the Lord isn't in the package you want it, but I believe God is looking for a generation of people that says, God, whether it's on the table with the master or if it's on the crumbs with the dogs on the floor, I'm hungry for you. No matter how it looks, no matter how it comes, I do not want my offense to disqualify me from how you're wanting to move in my life. Point number one, expectation starts with a thought. You know, at summer camp, this year just gone, literally in January, we saw holy laughter begin to break out in the room. No one taught anyone how to do it. We didn't do a teaching on joy, but all of a sudden, bit by bit by bit, kids just started to laugh as the Spirit of the Lord filled them with a joy unspeakable, hello someone, and full of glory. And I remember years ago seeing holy laughter, seeing people laugh and thinking, man, that's a little bit strange. I don't know how to feel about that, but can I tell you? That was my rock of offense I needed to get over, because at that time I was struggling in the depth of grief. But can I tell you, laughing in the presence of the Lord restored my soul in a way that counseling could only take me so far. The joy of the Lord, I could feel it renewing my mind. I had not been happier for the previous 6 months than when I was in those few days. Not because I was watching comedy shows, but because I did not allow the rock of offense to disqualify me from how God wanted to come to me. And I'm not saying that we all need to laugh in this place. All I'm saying is simply this. If God wants to come in a way that offends your mind, maybe the issue isn't with how he's coming. Maybe the issue is in our offense. And we need to be a people that can recognize our thoughts and take them captive so that we don't disqualify ourselves from how God is wanting to come in. Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts have incredible power. And so I want to encourage you. When you come to the house of the Lord every single day, no matter who takes the platform, no matter who's worshiping, I want to encourage you to think to yourself, God's about to speak to me right now. I want to encourage you, when you open your Bible on Monday morning or on Tuesday morning, don't think, oh, I've just got to tick a box. Think to yourself, God is about to speak to my heart. I want to encourage you, when you go to Connect Group and you're a part of your Connect, don't think, oh man, I'm so busy, I don't have time for this. Think to yourself, God's about to move in this room tonight. Why? Because your thoughts are the breeding ground of your expectation. Point number one, expectation starts with a thought. Point number two, expectation moves us to action. Mark 5 verse 27, she'd heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Her expectation didn't stop at, oh, if God wants to heal me, I guess he could. No, no, her expectation caused her to move. She started to push through the crowd. She started to walk towards Jesus. She started to crawl through. It was tight. It was pressed. She might have had to crawl on the ground for all we know. But she did what she needed to do to act upon her expectation. See, expectation, it's not enough to say, yeah, yeah, I'm expecting God. No, no, no. Expectation actually looks like something. Has anyone here ever watched the Oscars before? Me neither. Praise God. And so, however, I did see some of the clips on YouTube or afterwards of, you know, people that got nominated for Best Actor or, you know, Best Director. And I love it, because what happens, if you're not familiar, they'll get all the candidates, all of the potential people, all the nominees, and they'll put like a nice tight shot of them zoomed in on their face, and you see all of their emotion, all of their responses, and then they'll announce, you know, the Best Actor for 2024 for drama goes to Cillian Murphy, and then you'll see one actor, Cillian Murphy, be really excited, and then you'll see six other actors pretend to be excited for him, you know what I mean? And I've noticed that there's a huge difference in behavior between those that are nominated and those that aren't. See, the ones that are nominated, they're not sitting back talking to their friends, chewing gum on their phone. No, no, they're literally leaning in on their chair.
There is nothing that can distract their attention from the next words out of that person's mouth. They're locked in, they're focused, they're attentive, they're listening, they are expecting the information to have an impact on their life. And because their expectation is different to other people, their behavior is different. I want to ask you today, what does your expectation communicate? Sorry, what does your behavior communicate about your expectation? Because the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, you don't need to tell people what you're expecting. You don't need to tell people what you're believing. Your behavior is doing it for you already. Blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't hopeful for healing. No, he was expecting God to break through and bring healing. How do we know? Because he took off his jacket, his beggar's cloak. He threw it to the side. That means he was abandoning his source of income through blindness because he was expecting God to heal him. His communication came through of faith. Why? Because he threw his jacket aside. And when we say we want to be a people that are expecting, can I tell you, our expectation needs to move past the point of thought. It needs to move into our actions. Our expectation looks like having an openness of heart and leaning in on the end of a chair. It looks like writing notes on our phone, not because the preacher's preaching well, but because we're ready when the Holy Spirit highlights something, I want to write that thing down. I want to remember that because I want to pay attention to what God is saying. Expectation can look like saying yes and amen in a sermon. We don't do this for hype or just to create some atmosphere. No, the Bible says the power of life and death is in your tongue. And so when you begin to say yes, when you begin to say amen, you don't realize that you're creating an atmosphere of faith around you. You're creating an expectation around you. In our youth ministry, specifically at Myrie, we encourage our leaders to distract the kids next to them by their expectation. Because we got kids that come in, they're on Snapchat, they're on their phone, and you know what, we could be, you know, really strict about it and be like, no phones, put them away, like literally not allowed in the building, in this bin. But what we do is we just strategically place leaders around the room, and all of a sudden the kid's on their phone, but their leader's next to them. Come on! And then, what is going on, you know? And then someone else over there, that's good preaching. You know, the preaching might be mid at best, but they're just yelling it like it's the best thing ever. And these kids, all of a sudden, they can't pay attention to their phone. They're locked into what's going on because they're in an atmosphere of expectation. We literally see people that are not from Christian backgrounds, not from faithful environments, encounter God, get touched because they're simply in a room where people are expecting. You know, your expectation's more than, it's for more than just you. Your expectation allows God to touch people around you as well. What does it say in the Bible? Jesus, seeing their faith, turned to the man and said, son, your sins are forgiven. He saw their expectation, their physical behavior lowering in him, and then he moved in someone else's life. I believe God is raising up our expectation in this hour so that when lame people from the Belmont community come into this place, people with mental health issues, people with addiction, people that are on their way to hell, there'll be such a collective expectation in this room that they can't help but have a touch of God's Spirit. They can't help but be baptized in fire. Why? Because God sees our expectation and moves in their life. Your expectation looks like something. Point number one, expectation starts with a thought. Number two, it moves us to action. And number three, expectation remains open-handed with the outcome. I would love to invite the worship team to come and join me. Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, says that while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they're sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, I remember right before I moved to New Zealand, on my last year of high school, I was at a nations conference. And I was just attending, and there was a preacher, a great man of God, Pastor Ben Prescott, preaches a sermon called Dead Man Walking, talking about how when you and I follow Jesus, we die to ourselves, and it's no longer about us, it's all about God. And talked about the most dangerous people in prison were those that are on death row, because there's nothing you can do to them anymore. talked about we're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness when we die to ourselves because there's nothing they can do to us anymore. We're on fire for Jesus. And I remember the altar call being, hey, if you want to be a dead man walking, why don't you come to the front? And I came to the front. I just surrendered my life. I cried out to God. I was like, yes, God, I want to be a dead man walking for you. Whatever you say, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm all in. I didn't really feel anything in that moment, but that's okay because it wasn't about my feelings. It was just about a heart of surrender to the Lord in that moment. Anyway, the service ended and people left the room. Spotify came on and I was just standing there next to a buddy of mine and we're just chatting. It was literally just me and him in this auditorium and a few other volunteers kind of coiling cables and things around. And just as we're chatting, all of a sudden, he just began to tear up and cry. And I was like, man, it's a bit strange. I actually thought he was joking at first. I was like, and then he was serious. And I was like, okay, my bad. And so I was just standing there and I realized in this moment, God's presence just began to touch him. And I went and sat down on the front row and I was just thinking about this. I was like, man, it's so interesting that out of nowhere, God's presence just comes and he just begins to touch us however he wants, whenever he wants. And as I'm sitting there, the presence of God just begins to fall upon me. The Spirit of God began to literally blow upon me in that moment. And I just felt like this wind of the Spirit and I began to tremble. I began to tear up and cry and the presence of the Lord marked me and I fell on my knees and I just surrendered my heart to him. And I'll never forget in that moment, the Lord speaking to me, speaking to my heart, I should say. And say, Matt, I want you to go to New Zealand with your mum and dad. See, up to that point, I was going to stay in Perth. I had already started looking at plans to stay. My parents were all okay with that. But it was in that moment, God spoke to me about moving back with them and going and doing a year there. And I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting God to do that for me that day. I wasn't expecting God to speak to me about my next year. See, I already had my plan in my mind of what I was going to do. But in that moment, God came and did what he wanted. And I find we can sometimes place our expectation on God in such a way that it becomes limiting rather than faith-giving. And here we see Jesus teaches his disciples to have an expectation that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't tell them what that even looks like or what that means. But then we see there was a sound from heaven. There was a wind that filled the house. There was tongues of fire that rested on them. They began to speak in other tongues. There was speaking, there was sound, there was all this stuff. But Jesus didn't say, wait for a sound. He didn't say, wait for the gift of tongues. They didn't even know what the gift of tongues was in that moment. Jesus didn't say, wait for a flame of fire, wait for a wind. He said, no, 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 wait for a person. His name is the Holy Spirit. And they put their focus and attention on waiting on the Lord and then allowed the Lord to come however which way he wanted to come. See, a question I want to ask you this morning is your expectation in God or is your expectation in what you want God to give you? Because when your expectation is in what you want God to give you, you can get that and then miss God. You can be healed, have a total healing in your body and then walk away from the Lord and not even be back in church the next week. You can have God bring clarity to that decision you need to make in your business and then the moment you got clarity, I'm good, and then you're off and you're not back in church or connect for another 3 or 4 months. You can get what you need to move on. But can I tell you, when your expectation isn't in something, but your expectation is in someone, when you get your breakthrough, when you get your healing, your response isn't, let me get out of here. Your response is, let me stay here. Let me gaze upon his face. Let me worship. Let me love him. I want your presence more than I want your power, O Lord. A good question to ask is, if God was to give you what your heart wanted the most in this moment, would you be back to seek his face next week still? Because if it's not the case, can I humbly suggest to you that you need to recalibrate your heart to place your expectation not in something, but place it in someone. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. That's why he was whipped. That's why the flesh ripped off his back. God wants a sound mind in you more than you want a sound mind. Some mum needs to hear this today. God wants your child saved and in the house of God more than you do. But he's looking for a generation of people. I don't say that as a young people. A generation is young all the way through to old. He's looking for a generation
that have an expectation, not just for something, but for someone. Like the man at the Gadarenes who fell on his knees and cried out and worshiped Jesus, and God delivered him from his demons, the legion of demons in that moment. His response wasn't, "Oh, sweet, let me get back to my job." He was like, "Let me come with you." Why? Because he encountered someone. When you encounter the one, you'll give up anything to stay with him. What's your response in your heart when God moves in your life? Is it, "God, I want more of you"? Or are we just happy with our things and going on our way? See, in 2011, I wasn't expecting God to speak to me about New Zealand. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples weren't expecting the Holy Spirit to give them these things, but they placed their expectation not in something, but they placed it in someone. And I want to ask you this morning, have you been stewarding your expectation? Have you been taking note of your thoughts? Have you been observing your behavior and realizing your behavior is communicating your faith more than your words are? Have you been stewarding your expectations so that when the King of Glory walks through this room, even in a few moments' time, even next Sunday, when the King of Glory shows up, you don't just see him and see his garments and touch his clothes, but you experience his power and have the suddenlies he has for you? And I just believe today there's going to be suddenly moments that break out all across this room. Not because I've done anything special, but because the Lord is here. And someone, like this woman, isn't just a spectator, but they've stewarded their expectation to encounter him.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.